I mean, the other night, I was coming after there was been some powerful rains, and I'm coming down 35W, and I approach the Denton Creek crossings there, and I thought, this seems to be a lot of water. I better slow down. So I slowed down to about 40, and there was a girl in a little sports car. She's driving about 60 or 65. She comes right on by me on the left side. She gets right out there about the middle of that first bridge, and all of a sudden her car turns around backwards. That little car hydroplaned. That little car turned around backwards, and it scooted down the rail on this side and tore up the right side and then bounced over to this side and hit the other side and then stopped right in the middle of the highway facing me. I stopped. I went up there, and, of course, I'm trying to talk to her. I said, "Ma'am, are you okay?" And let me tell you, she wasn't okay. I mean, this girl couldn't talk for a few minutes. She was shaking all over. Finally, I got her out of the car. I said, "Are you okay?" She said, "Man, that scared me." I said, "Yeah, that would have scared me too." Guarantee. You know, that would have scared me too. It tore her car up all over. So we had to get it out of the highway, but it still runs. So we cranked it up and turned it around. And, of course, all the traffic was stopping and everything. And we pulled it down there and got it off the highway far. And then I went back and got my car. And she called her dad. And she said, "Well, he'll come get me in a few minutes." And so I just went on. She was okay. But she sure was shook up. But let me tell you, she wasn't in control. When she lost control of that car, she just riding a missile. That's all she was doing. And thank goodness it didn't kill her. Then it says here, such a youth could come from prison and succeed. He might even become king, though he was born in poverty. Does these kind of things happen? Sure, you take some kid, you know, that don't have nothing, and he really makes it in life. And then you take one that comes out of a wealthy family, you think, man, this kid's going to make it. And he hadn't learned how to do nothing. He never had to work. He don't know how to do anything. And dad dies and leaves him $1 million, and in 1 or 2 years, he's flat broke. You shaking your head like, we've seen this before, haven't we? Yeah. We've seen this. You know, so if you've got children and you're working to try to make them something, you better help train them, teach them, send them to school, or they're going to lose everything you work for whenever you give it to them. You know, they're just going to lose it. But now, if you take some of those poor kids, some of them hard-working kids that had to grow up, you know, with the hard knocks of life, some of those kids will make it. You know, so it's just amazing. It seems like if you grow up in life with nothing, when you start getting something, you know how little you had, and you want to be conservative with what you have. But if you've been raised up with plenty, and it was just everywhere, you just kind of don't mind throwing it away. You know, so you go down and buy you an expensive car, and you don't like it, well, you just trade it back in and lose $20,000 on it. You know, what's the big deal? It's only money. Have I heard people say that before? Oh yeah, but one day the money runs out. You know, I can think of another one of the Dallas Cowboys one year. I won't call his name, but he had been a tremendous Dallas Cowboy and made millions. And then one day I heard somebody say that, somebody told me it was on television, that the IRS had him because he couldn't pay his income tax. And they was going to take everything he had because he had not paid his taxes. He had somebody else managing his money. He'd been raised up a poor kid but didn't know nothing, and then he was powerful when it comes to playing football, but he didn't know nothing about managing money. So when you're powerful and you become a great Dallas Cowboy, there's somebody who will come in and run your money for you, but they'll see to it that you don't get any of it. You get a little, they get a lot, and then they'll see to it that the IRS comes and gets you and not them, because they went to school and they're educated and trained. And that's what happened to this young man. He lost everything, but yet he'd made millions, and now he's broke. Why? Because he didn't know how to manage money. They had no idea. Can you make millions and still wind up broke? Sure you can. Absolutely. It's happened to a lot of young men like that. A lot of those boys. Everyone is eager to help such a youth, even to help him take the throne. He might become the leader of millions and be very popular. But then the next generation grows up and rejects him. So again, it's all meaningless, like chasing the wind. This is amazing. As you enter the house of God, think about this. In chapter 5, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. That's written in the book, Benjamin. That's what it says, isn't it? Keep your ears open, listen, but keep your mouth shut. Isn't it amazing? The things that's in the book. Don't be a fool who doesn't realize that mindless offerings of God are evil. Mindless offerings of God are evil? And don't make rash promises to God. Now, do you know anybody that's ever done that? Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. We make rash promises to God. You know, I mean, I can remember when we had the building program up at Lakeland, and it seems like we were always in a building program at Lakeland. I mean, they did build a great big church there, I will have to say, but it would be interesting when Brother Ben, which he was my pastor for 25 years, I guess, but every year I was there, our building funds or our debt got bigger. I mean, we kept adding on. And I didn't think we were fully utilizing what we had. But we kept building a bigger, more beautiful, wonderful place. And it would be interesting to know what the debt was when he retired at that place. Because I can tell you, it was a bunch when he retired. He did build some kind of a complex there. And a few people got saved there. But my goodness gracious alive, the debt. It's absolutely amazing. It's something. But, you know, when people make pledges to God, God holds you accountable. Sure. Now, he doesn't say you have to do this, but he holds you accountable. In other words, we had people come in and that would sit down and talk with us and say, how much are you willing to pledge to build this building? In other words, this is over and above your tithe. In other words, if you're a tither and you were giving 10% every week of your money, then how much extra are you willing to give every week? $10? $50? $100 a week? How much extra? And some people would say, okay, I'll give this much for the next 5 years to help pay for this building. You know, when you sign your name on that line and say, I'm going to give $50 a week extra for the next 5 years, God holds you responsible for that pledge.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to make that if you say, well, I can only do five, or I can't do any. I'm just going to do my tithe, and that's it. If I can't, you'll bond me a tithe, then don't make a pledge to God. Because the king's going to hold you responsible. Yeah. So don't make rash promises to God. For he is in heaven, and you are only here on earth. So let your words be few. What did he say a while ago? Keep your mouth what?
Shut
Is that hard for us to do? It is for me. The only way I can keep my mouth shut, put three layers of duct tape around it. That's the only way I can keep it shut completely. The rest of the time, I'm talking. Oh, my goodness gracious. And then he says here, after he says, let your words be few, he said, just as being too busy gives you nightmares. Now, if you're too busy, you'll have nightmares. You'll be so tired when you go to bed, you will have nightmares. The Lord's trying to tell you that you're working too hard. Now, it don't hurt to work hard, but there is a place you can go beyond working hard. And I'm learning that slowly but surely. The other morning, I got up and, 8 o'clock or something like this, and I started out. My plans were to work on my tractor and try to get it back together. And so I went out there in the shop, and it was hot. I mean, it was hot. I was soaking wet with sweat. I put all the pistons and rings and rod bearings and put the head back together and put it all on there. And finally, about 8 o'clock that night, I haven't been in the house for nothing to eat or nothing. I've been out there working. Hot. I have had a couple of bottles of water. But as I'm there and I'm working and so hot, about 8 o'clock that night, I got it together and I reached over and hit the starter and it started. And so I thought, okay, praise the Lord. I got it going. I ain't got the radiator on it yet, so I only let it run about 10, 15 seconds, you know, just enough to hear what it's going to do. And then I shut it off and I looked at my watch and I said, good grief. It's after 8 o'clock at night. I've been out here for 12 hours. So I think I'm just going to go in, take a shower, and work on ministry stuff. And I did till 2 o'clock in the morning. But at least I was inside where it was cool, you know. So I can rest sitting there at my desk talking on the phone with people doing emails. And because that night I started canceling emails, I had 189 emails. And so I got about 100 of them read and deleted and answered and whatever that night. But I rested a little, I didn't have nightmares that night. You know, and I could have had, but I didn't. Just as being too busy gives you nightmares, being a fool makes you a blabbermouth. God uses some very serious words here, doesn't he? He just calls it just like it is. Then he says, so when you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through. For God takes no pleasure in fools. So you see now why he says keep your mouth shut, right? If you're talking and you make a pledge to do something, whatever it is, say, Lord, I'm going to go to church every Sunday. I ain't going to miss a Sunday. Or you better make sure you put some kind of, this year, I'm going to try it this year, Lord. Don't put it indefinitely, because if you do, he's going to hold you accountable for that. Who knows what might happen next year, you know? So don't make a pledge to him and tell him you're going to do something unless you mean to do it. God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. It is better to say nothing than to promise something that you don't follow through on. You know, so if you know you can't fulfill your obligation, you know there's something there that you think you might not be able to do it, well, then don't make that commitment to God.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, and we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.